Amen. You may be seated this morning. We will turn this mother out before I allow you to tear it down. You know, that's people sometimes. They look at your stuff and don't know what you put into it. They crazy for thinking that you crazy and you going to sit and let them do that. No, not that kind of Christian. Not that kind. People by nature are laid back, peaceful, respecting folk. And as long as you respect me, I respect you. As long as you have my back, I got your back. As long as you'll do for me, I'll do for you. But the moment that you cross that line, you know that line.
Yes, sir.
When you start touching the family, when you start touching the children, when you start touching the checkbook, when you start touching the church, we can fight right there. Now, the problem sometimes in the church is that we receive the Holy Ghost and we become doormats. We think that somehow when people misuse us, that we have to stay there and we have to take that as though we lost our common sense. Just because I'm in the church, don't you think for one second, maybe, that I will let you tear down what I have been able to build through the grace of God. Let me move it closer to you. You know that little thing at work that sit next to your husband, who thinks she can just walk by him, come and get the house that you established just because she blinked her eye. She got another thought coming. And just because he thinks that he can take you to dinner and buy you some roses, and you're going to be so simple that you're going to leave your man for 15, 20, 40 years because somebody can afford to buy you flowers, but not a house. I'm just saying. So when you build something, you have to protect what you built.
That's right.
Now, it doesn't mean that you're ruling out God. It just means that I'm willing to fight for this.
Amen.
Now, there's not a lot of this in the world that most folks are willing to fight for. But when you push the right button, you would make a Holy Ghost-filled sister light up on you. You would make a brother who is in church all the time seems like he dropped his religion just to get you. Now, I know this is kind of you know, funny that you're sitting in church and we're talking about getting someone. And that's not what I'm saying to you. What I'm communicating to you is that you better have something in your life that is worth fighting for. If you have nothing in your life that is worth fighting for, what are you standing for?
Amen.
Now, this piece that we deal with this morning, this piece is a piece in which Paul and Peter were hanging out. Now, you have to keep in mind that Peter has been in the gospel for a long time. Paul just stopped sinning yesterday morning. And so here's Paul come to church and he hook up with Peter because Barnabas made a way for him to be received and the saints of God gave him a right-hand fellowship. And so now Peter and Paul are hanging out trying to do some evangelistic work Because they want to make sure that they are increasing the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to watch folk around you when you begin to show the glory of God in your life. You have to watch folk around you when you buy your new car and they stop shouting with you. They stop calling you. You have to watch people in your life when you buy your new home. Then all of a sudden they call everybody and gossip, but they never call you and say, congratulations, or how did you do it, or I must be next in line. If God did it for you, he'll do it for me. Instead, they just begin to hate on you. Haters you'll always have in your life. And that's why I'm always telling you that we need to begin to celebrate the haters in our life. Because if it had not been for the haters in my life, how would I know that God would make a way out of no way if I never been stuck in something? How would I know that God will supply all of my needs if I've never been in a dry season? So I thank God for identifying my haters. Paul and Peter is in Antioch. Then Peter shows up. Now, keep in mind that James, who's the half-brother of Jesus, told Paul, you can rest assured, Peter will never eat pork. See, for a Jew to eat pork, it's like that's the worst thing that you can do. Okay? So here's Peter, who has been in ministry, in church, almost all his life. Now, Paul is banking that he can trust Peter, watch this, to go to the nightclub with him.
What'd you say?
But don't drink. Because James already told him that Peter was a strong Christian. So Paul takes Peter with him to do evangelistic work out in the world. And what does Peter do? He go and he start eating with the unsaved. And so the question that Paul has is, how can you bring someone to church, lead someone to Christ, if you're doing what they're doing? That's all right. See, the Bible says that we are to not conform to this world. And that means that you are in the world, but you don't have to do what the world do. Your little life should be a shining light that somebody wants to be like you. Don't get me wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that you're sinless. Because if you're watching me predicating on my sins, I will lead you straight to hell. Yeah. Because there's no good in any of us outside of the Holy Spirit. So if you're sitting here think you got it all together, you are a fool. I hate to tell you. Because all of us is struggling with something. I don't care how long you've been in the church, you still got this little thing in your side and you can't shake it. You still got some stuff you petitioning God for, and it's still there. And God says, I know you're struggling with it. I know that you have a heart to change. In the meantime, my grace is... But God forbid. Because grace abounds. That doesn't mean that you go out and do more so you can get more grace. That's not what he's saying. So here's Peter and Paul getting ready to reach out and do this evangelistic work. Paul finds out Peter that snuck in the back room and he was back there eating chitlins with the same folk that they came to try to lead out of the world.
Oh my God.
How can you, I'm just curious, how can you smoke weed with somebody? How can you smoke weed with somebody and then say, do you want to go to church? I'm just asking. I'm just asking. See, there's some things we should not do. And then turn around and invite you to church. But at the same time, just because you know what I do, that doesn't mean that I don't love the Lord. That doesn't mean that I'm not sanctified, saved, and filled with the Holy Spirit. I do come with some baggage, you know. You know I'm bipolar sometimes. I can be natural and supernatural in the same day. So you better kind of work with me. Don't be so quick to judge me. Work with me. Eating them chitlins with them folk over there. And so Peter tried to be slick. So he wiped his mouth real good, backed up, and said, I ain't got nothing. Have you ever talked to somebody that was drunk and thought you could smell the alcohol? Oh. I'm just thinking out loud. Just thinking. And so what we discovered is that when you look at the church, we got some issues in here. I mean, some serious problems. That's why it kills me when one saved person trying to judge somebody else. Because the truth of the matter is, this is the hospital. And we all came because we are sick. Church and your little holy self. I can't believe her dress is that short. How do you know? How do you know? I can't believe this and I can't believe that. You see, we have to understand, let people come as they are. See, maybe you forgot that you came with some stuff. Maybe you forgot the only thing that you hear was your pain and suffering. Maybe you forgot that you still dealing with some stuff. Maybe you forgot when I pointed to him and cast all my cares on him, that he is faithful to forgive me. I love God because he forgives me. Have you ever been going through something and you needed somebody to forgive you? All your friends walked out and that's when Jesus walked in. Let God step in your life.
Sick.
Now, common sense tell me in the world when you're sick, really sick, you go to the hospital and they try and fix you. And sometimes they'll stick you in this place called ICU, intensive care unit. And so when they stick you in there, they're putting you in there because they want to monitor your health. They even have the charts to review how you're progressing. Yes. So they can take a great snapshot of your life in the ICU. Okay. We as people in the body of Christ need to understand that for us, the church also is our intensive care unit. It's our ICU. It's an institution, a place of culture, and also a place of unleashing. Okay? 3 points. So notice this about Paul. Paul deals with Peter in a very unique way. But now understand what Peter did to Paul. Peter was bold enough to embarrass Paul in public. Paul says, I'm big enough to check you in public. You know how sometimes folk would do something to you, and then when you get them back, they say, I thought you was a Christian. I am. I'm just not going to let you walk over me like this. We'll turn this mother out before I let you get off. What God is giving me. You don't hear me this morning. And so here is Paul. Paul is saying to Peter, we've taken all of this years, and Paul is saying, I've built and established the ministry. Now you're going to do crazy and embarrass the ministry for your personal gain. Do you really think I'm going to sit back and just do nothing at all? See, Paul was the kind of preacher that we need to have today, that when you get out of line and you do crazy in God's house, he pour right up to you and he check you then. See, the problem with a lot of churches is that the preacher is afraid that he going to lose his job. Baby, I run an international ministry over there, and I'm not secured here. My faith is in Jesus Christ. You can take this job as a matter of fact, you can have it. Because if God says your gift will make room for you, you don't have to worry about no God. He was afraid. Because here it is, he's trying to lead folks to Christ, and Peter is doing his own thing back here. Paul says, wait a minute, we need to check that. You need to understand, number one, that the church is an institution. It's an institution.
Yes.
That means that the church has common views and values. In other words, God is a God of order, and you got to have order in God's house. Now, if you're not sick, you don't get it. But if you're ever sick, you don't want them to operate on you before they first know your name. So God is a God of order, and we in the church have to be in order as well. So he says the institution is a place in which people have these common views and common values about things, because we have to understand that our number one duty to each other, according to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, is simply to obey God.
Amen.
Obey God. How can you lead someone and you're not teachable?
Come on now.
You ever seen a situation, one of your co-workers, they tricked your supervisor into a promotion? When they got the promotion, no one would support them because they had to do tricks in order to get there. See, the same way you are as a follower, it's the same way you are as a leader. And so you wonder why nobody supports you. You think nobody likes you. You think everybody is jealous of you. The truth of the matter is sometimes we get what we give out. So if that's what you give out, don't be surprised if it comes back to you, because the same seed that you plant, it comes up again. We have to understand that the church is an institution. Not only is the church an institution, the church is composed of a culture. And that is all of us today. See, we have to learn to adjust to the present church. It doesn't mean self- selling out, but me standing here telling my head, Charles, ain't gonna move you. I'm just saying. I had a neighbor named Charles. I used to always think that song was Charles. I didn't know it was a charge. But here's my point. When you begin... generation. And so the way that you were ministering to people 20 years ago is not the same way you can do it today. So watch this now. Watch this. So kids today don't like to come to church. Matter of fact, adults don't like to come to church. The Bible says, forsake not ourselves of the assembly of saints. And so you get strength by coming to church. But kids today say, just text it to me. Just email it to me. Let me download it. Maybe there's some anointing that you cannot download. There's some stuff we ought to be in the presence of the Lord. There's some stuff he can't do for you. There's some movement of the Holy Ghost that you got to step in when the Lord is there, sir. So we have to adjust to the current culture. But you don't have to sell out. The word of God is still the word of God. It doesn't change. And so because it doesn't change, if a charge to keep I have worked then, it should work now. But you got to sing it so I can understand what you're saying. You understand what I'm saying? I don't need to stand here and preach to you and... That thing sound good. And here comes Satan knocking on your door, microphone. Hey, I'm ready. Are you ready? Wait a minute. Let me go back and see what that word was about. Want the unleashing. When Peter asked the fool, Paul straightened him then. He says, no, when I saw this, he says, I went to Peter right there. See, sometimes in life, there are some things that you need to address instantly. There's some stuff you can do to me, and we can wait till next week and we can talk about it. There are some things that you do to me. We need to talk about it then. See, because God has created us so that when you have aught with your brother, he says, you go to your brother and you talk. But now, if they're so crazy they can't listen to you, he says, grab a witness. And if that doesn't work, he says, let them go. He says, just treat them like a heathen.
That's right.
Because if you love the Lord, then you're always trying to mend broken pieces. See, that's what God is doing for us, and that's what the cross is all about. The cross is about bringing us back into the covering of God. And so what God did for us, he says, I'm going to make it so that when you go to your ICU, you go to your church, and you understand the institution of the church, and then you understand the culture of the church, and you understand the unleashing, which means sometimes you have to correct people in church. He says, when you do all of that, and you do it in love and kindness, he says, you come come right back under the covering of God. Some things you can do and get away with it. Some things, baby. We can turn this mother out. Do you feel that way? Somebody touch your child. No, baby. We don't need to talk. Not no more. We should have talked before you did that.
That's right.
Now that you've done that. And then isn't it a beautiful thing when you can do what you need to do without sin? And you know the Bible says, you know, that you can slide on in there, but sin not.
Yes, sir.
Just because I tell you how I feel don't mean I'm sinning. See, and that's what we have to do in the body of Christ is stop being punks. Child, I'm just going to pray for her. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. But I still need some godly stuff to communicate to you. I'm not talking about cursing out, but we need to talk about this issue. You see, because what Paul is saying to Peter, Paul is saying, I built this thing through the grace of God. Barnabas and others reached out with the right hand of fellowship. They accepted me into Christ. And then as soon as I came into Christ, came into the church, you always have this one idiot that is pushing everybody out, that you sweat and bring folks in. Tried to build something in your life and you had these haters all around you and they were watching your every move. Have you ever had a so-called friend around you and you trying to build something and they trying to tear it down? Have you ever had somebody close to you, all around you, all up in your business, mean you no good, just want to know how you doing it so they can steal your idea? The devil is a lie. I'll fight for mine. The devil is a lie. I'll defend my house. The devil is a lie. I'll defend my faith. The devil is a lie. I'll work.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's get that. So in closing, watch what Paul does in closing. Paul goes to Peter. When Paul goes to Peter, he says to him, listen, I know what you did. And so on the spot, he confronts him. Watch this about church. The Bible declares that a three-chord road, like a plait, is that when it's woven together. It's hard to break it. It's hard to break. So when you come into the church, understand that God has a head in the church. That head also needs the body. The head and the body needs Christ. So when you can get those three moving on one accord, you got something. You got something. But Satan is also busy as well. So he'll always dispatch his little demons to go and try to cause confusion in what God is doing. And so there they come for confusion. And the truth of the matter is, when you take a step back, it's Satan, is this the best that you can send? Because this ain't going to even cause a problem for me. This ain't even worth noticing, not to me. Because I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I don't have time to fool with folks who have no vision. I don't have time to fool with folk who confused about their own identity. I need to surround myself with somebody who's going to encourage me. Somebody's going to lift me up. Somebody's going to help me to get there. That's what you need in life. You need encouragement. You don't need somebody to beat you down. Life beats you down. I don't need to come to church and have to watch my back. In church, it seems like in church, I should be able to pray for you. But sometimes, as we learn from Paul and Peter, remember, Paul is a preaching Peter. Peter is a preacher also. Isn't it funny how one preacher is trying to take down another? Still hasn't changed. Still, because my thing, if God called you to preach and you don't like the order of the house, why don't you go next door and see if you can do what God has graced the next there you are working in your ministry. You got your little cubicle, got your Bible, and you're trying to minister to somebody, and everybody walk by you and call you a holy roller until they get in trouble. Then they come seeking you out. You still got a scripture for me? Can you still pray for me? No, yesterday you just talked about me. But you have to let it go. The Bible declares, touch not my
anointed,
and do my prophet
no harm.
No harm. See, sometimes we put our mouth, we put our hand on God's business. And the Bible declares, listen, if somebody's doing it on their own, don't worry about it. It won't last. But if it's of God, nothing you can do about it. If it's of God. You see, my point in closing to today is this. Is that you need to get in the will of God.
Yes.
And let them say and do what they please.
Amen.
They can't stop you.
That's right.
Because you're anointed.
Amen.
The truth of the matter is they like you.
Amen.
They just don't like you anointed. When they look at you and they say bad things about you, what they really see is the Shekinah glory that is lighting up your life. And they can handle all of that. Christ. You gotta know who you are in Christ. You gotta believe what God said about you. Not what the next man said. What did God say about you? And if God said it about me, then that's the end. That's final. That's all I need to believe. What is God saying about you? What is God saying about you? And so here's Paul that walks into ministry with Peter, who's been in ministry longer than he is. And Peter says, he's young in the ministry, just coming in. I can do whatever I want to do. And Paul says, no, I'm willing to fight for my ministry.
Amen.
Are you willing to fight for your ministry?
Amen.
Ministry as a mother,
yes.
As a father,
yes.
As a community leader,
yes.
As a church leader.
Yes.
Are you willing to fight for that?
Amen.
I wonder if somebody says something about the organization or the institution that you are a part of. I wonder if you just sit back and say nothing at all.
Oh my God.
Is that something? So if you say nothing, then you're really talking by not saying anything. Because you can't be my friend and somebody else come and talk about you in my... No, no. Child, let me tell you what they say. Tell me what you say. Find something in life that is worth fighting for. Have you been blessed today?